Hey, what's going on? Happy Friday. This is Jeremy Thone, Marketing Director of 3PL Systems, host of 3PL Live. Excited to share an interview with Nate Johnson. Nate is the founder and CEO of GLCS. In this episode, we talk about how he ended up starting Driving Forward a couple months back and how that's helped him in his business with developing trust, authority, and kind of getting his name out there. Hope you enjoy this episode. Nate, thanks for coming on to 3PL Live. I'm excited to chat with you about your business and your live streaming. For those that don't know you, would you mind just introducing yourself, what business you run, and just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Jeremy. My name is Nate Johnson. I'm the CEO and founder of GLCS. GLCS is a management and technology consultancy. We help transportation and logistics companies with their technology. We do technology selection, we streamline processes, we do implementation and support, we do managed IT as well as system integrations, mostly complex integrations. We work with several hundred, actually approaching 300 companies on a monthly basis in various levels of support. And that's climbing fairly rapidly. So we've been growing exponentially lately.
It's impressive. How did I think there's a big need for that. I mean, even at 3PL Systems, we have a lot of clients that need someone to bridge the gap between what our software does and some like integrations that they might need with like an ERP system or something like that. So I think it's a great idea. Before we get into the live streaming part of the show in just a second here, how long have you been at this for, and like how long did it take you to like know that you actually had traction? Like obviously you're crushing it now, but like was it right away that you knew that it would work, or did it take a while?
Well, I've been in the industry 28 years. I was an operator before I went into the technology side. I owned and managed trucking and logistics companies of relatively good size for many years. Was always a technologist. I always loved technology, was always cutting edge at any of the organizations I ran. And going back, you know, 2000 to 2006, even when we had sold a company, I was very cutting edge with a TMS, so much so that many of the processes that we had there, you rarely see at companies today. You look back even 10 years, you know, 28 years in the industry, I was basically mid-90s getting into transportation and logistics. And you look at the technology that we utilized back then, which was very little comparative to now, been a large wave of adoption, especially in the last 15 years. Making the leap from the operations side and the business management side of transportation logistics to the technology, fairly it was a leap of faith. And in 2011, I joined TMW, managed a division of TMW called Strategic Services, which was really kind of my first main leap into the technology side. I wanted to move earlier, but at that time I was in my late 20s, and I don't think anyone would listen to, even though I feel like I had a good path and I understood the industry quite well, I don't think too many people would listen to someone in their late 20s, how they should run business and how they should deploy technology. So I needed another few years to get there.
I feel that people do make those judgments for sure. I get that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's maybe less today than it was back then, but the tenure at TMW was helpful. I worked with, you know, a lot of the largest companies in the industry.
Was that team to basically go out and like implement complex problems or something? Cause that's kind of like, it sounds like the bridge almost between that and like what you do now, sort of, or at least part of it.
Sort of, you know, we did complex sales engineering. We did, we were effectively TMW's firefighters. So we would, customers that needed to enhance their product, that needed to look at new products, that really were looking to utilize what they had completely. Mm-hmm. So many times you'd have, and you guys probably see this as well, when you implement a product, there's a journey there, right? So you don't ever fully adopt a product upon your initial implementation. If you get 50, 60% of the full utilization of a product, that's a successful implementation. On a full ERP, TMS, you know, you name it. But if it's a full implementation of one of those packages and you get 60%, utilization on a go live, that's a successful deployment. So 12, 18 months later, doing a review of that product and determining, what's the path to get to 70, 80, 90% utilization. Because, in a lot of cases, companies aren't going to get to 100% utilization. There's components of solutions that just they're never going to use. So we largely would help customers use the solutions that they had, recommend other solutions. That was a good stepping point for us there.
Yeah,
And
utilization is not easy at all. I totally get that. I feel like sometimes like you could roll out a product, you could show people how to use it, and it's almost like therapy. Like the person has to want to do it too, or the
yeah.
team has to be motivated on both sides, I feel
Right.
like. So yeah, I completely agree with everything that you're saying there. It was good seeing you at Manifest too. Let's get into the actual episode. So like this episode's basically just about like live streaming, the power of kind of the changing social media that we see around. How did I saw you at Zelle. You guys had basically were doing some live podcasting there too, which I thought was really cool. And you streamed it off of your phone, if I'm not mistaken, which I thought was really clever as well, from the Rodecaster, I believe.
It was great. We wanted to live stream. We wanted to keep it live. It was actually kind of our mission going back many months was to bring more live commentary, live information from conferences. We go to a lot of conferences. You don't get a lot of information from those conferences. Kudos to Samantha Jones. She did a great job of that at Manifest. Definitely showed us up. We're a little
She's
different
great.
because we're a company and we're there to do a lot of company stuff, but
Sure.
she that's her full-time role for the most part. I know she does some consulting too, but she did a great job of that as well. At Manifest specifically, I wasn't going to give up, and so we found that at that particular time of day we were getting a substantial amount of bandwidth on our phones, so we were able to tap into that, but the conference bandwidth wasn't capable of being able to do live stream. But
Pretty cool.
so we were able to push it out on the phone. It was stable. Going forward, at every conference we have a booth, we will continue to live stream. So they're not, the next one we're at TCA here, end of March, and that'll be a component of our booth. Will be our podcast. Pretty much any conference we go forward at, the podcast will be part of our booth. So
I think it's a great idea.
appreciate Zelle letting us work out some kinks there, because we brought all the stuff with we learned a lot
That was a lot.
from
I thank you
helping
for
us out
bringing
with
that. I
stuff.
know that there was a lot of gear just sitting there, so we appreciate it to you.
We learned a lot. I know I got to upgrade the mic, so that's happening, and we know we need a bigger speaker next time, so that's happening, and we got to use headsets, so that's happening. So there's a lot of lessons learned. So
Every day, I feel you. I mean, every day I feel like I'm learning lessons. I was actually just pairing the Rode Wireless Go little lavalier mic thing to the Rodecaster Pro yesterday, and I didn't realize that you could actually do that. That's a really sick setup too, where you can not even use
right.
the mic and it's just really clean. But sometimes it doesn't like pair properly. So some I was having to talk to the folks over there. How did you end up getting into this? What sparked the idea? I love what you're doing. I think it's great, and I think it's a smart way of marketing and getting in front of people and getting, because people really buy from people they trust, and that it builds authority when they see you coming out there. And then you also have your Bane, obviously, the strongest man on freight, and that guy's almost got his own brand going on too, but
He
related to
does.
yours. But like I think that's great, like you guys are really noticing this stuff, because I feel like a lot of people don't understand like brand building, and that's brand in my eyes. So like when you're
Yeah.
actually going out there and people start recognizing you.
No, it absolutely is. We actually coined a term, and I'm pretty sure we coined it, which is gravity and conference gravity specifically. We realized that Monday night at Manifest when Bain has a strong following, I have a strong following, and we just planted ourselves at a table at that opening session, and that personal branding created this orbit of people around us. And either they were coming to see the strongest man in logistics, or they were coming to see what Bain keeps calling the mayor. And so I think that name's starting to stick. Mayor of Tech Town, Mayor Freight, whatever they're gonna coin me with. So and it's starting to hit. And I think Anthony from Parade, the CEO of Parade, kind of nodded and said, yeah, that's definitely applicable. But so it's running with it. But creating that personal brand, I think, is extremely important. And that's, a year ago we decided we wanted to do the podcast, and we struggled launching it. We went down the road of attempting to launch it probably in May. It's hard to take that leap It's hard to take that leap. There's a lot to learn initially. It's a lot of different platforms that you can review, and so we did a lot of different things. It took us until really October and November, and I need to call out Sheree Moore for assisting us in getting going. We wouldn't have probably done it without her, or at least it would have been a longer journey with her. And Sheree Moore is the founder of She Trucking and a friend of mine. We definitely hit the ground running a lot faster than what we would have without her. And she set us up with, you know, getting us established correctly on StreamYard and kind of giving us a lot of pointers and telling me what I should and shouldn't do initially and whatnot. So that, you know, getting the right partner to help you out in the beginning, I think was the right thing. But why we wanted to do it, everyone kept telling me, you know, for years they've been telling me I need to speak louder. I need to be out there talking to people, not only about technology, but about everything industry. Come in and I talk with customers, I talk with other industry leaders, and people have a tendency of listening. And so I'm creating that platform to continue to do so. And it's been really successful. It's surpassed all expectations on my side, to be honest with you. We've been running the podcast since the beginning of November. There was a little bit of content that we produced beforehand, but the first episode in reality was the beginning of November. I think it was right at the end of FreightWaves F3.
It was a great event.
Yeah, that was a good event. But we recorded it in Chattanooga. And then we started every week following that. We originally were just going to do it monthly or every couple of weeks. And now it's a weekly show. And actually, I do kind of two things every week. So it's been a positive experience.
I meet a lot of people, executives that will ask me questions and try to like pinpoint like or nail me down into like a specific ROI. And I can't really explain it, but I can tell you that like when I actually had, you mentioned Anthony Sutardja, the CEO of Parade, I had him on the show on Friday and we talked about like how he's using GPT to like read emails and to process that capacity information to like basically make one person go from like a carrier sales rep from like 8 loads like a day to 8 loads an hour, because they're just getting rid of this like minutia work that doesn't really matter anyways. But it's interesting because like my dad doesn't really, for example, like he's just like, well, where's the ROI in that? And like, I don't really know how, like, is that worth $5? Is it worth $50 that, you know, Anthony comes and talks to you, talks to us? It's definitely worth something. The executives want those. They want to know like, hey, Nate, like how did like this podcast with Jeremy and you that you recorded today, how did that make this sale? Like they want like attribution basically. And I think that attribution is a very complicated thing that not a lot of people have figured out yet, because the customer journey doesn't necessarily... Some people are in this camp of like, hey, like let's only cold call, for example. And granted, like cold calling is fine if like that's your thing, but like why wouldn't you build a brand with like you and like that strongest guy in freight and you're the mayor or whatever? Why would not do that and be like attract people versus go like be needy, in my opinion?
Right. The whole sales process has changed. I get comments on LinkedIn. I get emails. I get phone calls. I don't answer them. Don't reach out to me and ask to buy for me to buy something without trying to engage me in some sort of conversation ahead of time. There's no way I'm going to look at that. It doesn't matter if you're selling me an electronic solution for my home, if you want to mow my yard, if you want to do something for GLCS, whether it's staffing or otherwise. If we don't have an interpersonal relationship, I'm probably not going to be too interested. And a lot of people just skip that today. So whether cold calling for me is not a solution, we have to develop a relationship to do business. It's one of the driving factors of our podcast, which is called Driving Forward, but it is, you know, one of the primary factors behind that. It largely humanizes us. It puts out our message. And it tells you what we do. We don't sit there and create an hour-long commercial every week either. We're just simply talking to other people in the industry. And in some cases, we're talking with drivers. Drivers typically have some sort of interesting message that they are putting out. But once a month, we're typically pulling forward some driver in the industry that has a great message or a great story. So the return there for me is visibility. For anyone else is visibility. And awareness. Our viewers are largely 150 to 400 executives in transportation live, and then upwards of 1,000 of the same in the same week. So, largely that's our viewership. And once again, we're a fairly young podcast, so I expect that to grow and kind of expand on the viewership. And that's our customer base too, right? So if you look through our viewership, it's largely our customer base. And so it's a great way to message to our customer base. It's a way, a great way to grow. I've been so surprised in this short period of time that we've been running the podcast. When I walk up to someone and they're like, "You have a Driving Forward podcast. I've watched you, or you're Nate Johnson. I've seen your social media." It's not just about Driving Forward. Sometimes it's about the social media impact you
Sure.
have on LinkedIn or wherever. And that all kind of ties together.
Trust at the end of the
Absolutely.
day. If they see you, they trust you, and if they know that you're showing up, and then they see that you're knowledgeable and doing a good job, and that you're like punctual, and that you come to work every week, and all these things, like it's building in public too. I think that is like super important because they see you're up to something, and it's just a nice way to stay like present, I feel like, within like everyone around you, and you're also. The one thing I really enjoy about it too is like building community, because you're actually building like a community around all these freight executives with Driving Forward, and like that's a lot of power right there, because regardless of the size of the audience, like that's a very sticky audience that's very niche into like transportation people that are executives, at a lot of probably tech people. So in general, I just think that that is powerful, and I think people don't look at it necessarily right sometimes, like the old, or I don't want to say older, because like I'm older than some people. I'm 44, and I just feel like I see things a lot differently than some people. Like even there are younger people than me that don't agree, like with like mediums of like podcasting and like video content and whatever. They still believe in the power of cold calling, and more power to them, but it's just not my thing.
Yeah, everyone can have their own approach. We don't all have to agree on anything. You can take whatever approach you want. This is the approach that we take. I certainly believe that sometimes you have to pick up the phone and call people, but not hiring an army of people to do so. Are not a large company. We're not a small company, but we're not a large company. So if I have to apply resources, I certainly am going to use the social media aspect that I can to reach out to everyone that direction where possible. So we have a much larger reach through our networks. And certainly Robert and a few others on our team have large networks, and personal branding side is massive for us. So when we use Driving Forward, and we'll continue to use Driving Forward to help build personal branding, and we have a few other initiatives that are going on where we're going to bring more people forward within GLCS that want to kind of have a voice. And I'm excited about that, because I feel like any company today needs to give that voice to their people. You need to help someone become whoever they want to be. That personal brand is extremely important. We saw a lot of that at Manifest. There was a lot of people with a lot of strong personal brands there. It's something that a company employer or a company can help champion, and that betters the organization as a whole. We see that a lot with green screens. Speaking, her organization is just full of those types.
Yeah, I love Don and Kevin Coombs and Matt Silver. They're all great people over there, Green Screens and Celine. And I like that they're kind of not so stale with their marketing. Like I walk through like some of them at Manifest, and obviously there's some absolutely like stunning, like gorgeous booths that are probably like way crazy expensive amounts of money. One thing I really enjoy about their team though is like they had like jerseys on that all had like the numbers of like when they were employed by. So I was talking to someone that was employed by like they were like the 13th employee or something. So like they do a really good job of just having a good time and not taking themselves too seriously, but they're serious at the same time. Like they're doing cool shit. I agree with you. I almost think that the executives that don't see like why wouldn't you want to go hire like a Trey Griggs that's got 10,000 followers and have him, obviously Trey doesn't want to do that because he has beta, does his own thing or whatever. But in general, why wouldn't you want to go hire someone that's got 5,000 followers and then has a like a brand? Jesse at Parade, the AE over there, Jesse Taylor, I believe his name is. He's got like a great personal brand, and he's always going on like different podcasts and putting himself out there and things. But the way I see it, perfectly to your point, like I thought you described it like beautifully. But the idea of like why not have like a, even like create these creators within your organization that have their own networks, because at the end of the day, everything's going to go back to you. And the idea also is to make shareable content. Like you want to optimize for shareable content. And the way to do that is obviously to highlight people. And then when you highlight people, I feel like it's easy to share because it's like you're highlighting them, but you're also having interesting conversations and then also making it more about community. So I think that that's like, it's tapping into all these different kind of things. And I'm glad that like the industry is doing this, because I think it's just better and it makes it more colorful and more rich, in my opinion. And the other crazy thing too is like, even Samantha Jones, like she has that podcast and she's already like gotten like multiple sponsors. So again, like I can't imagine that she's got a lot of, she's obviously really smart and beautiful. So she obviously is probably doing great, but in general, I don't think you need like a big viewership even to get sponsored. I think that it's just a matter of pitching it to the right people that want to be in front of those right, those executives like that, that are in front of your crowd and her crowd.
And being the authority in what you're speaking about, making sense. So if you, I think that's the key when you're going to start speaking, when you're going to start publicly speaking about something, whether it's through a podcast or otherwise, if you don't make sense, if your messaging is not accurate, you know, this industry will pull you apart. And if your messaging does make sense and it is thought leading, you're going to be raised up pretty quickly. There's lots of people that will consume that. And if you let that develop over 2, 3, 4 years, it's only going to skyrocket. So that's, you know, you just have to let it go and don't sit there and dwell on it. Just let nature take its course. I think it will, it'll be whatever it's going to be. And I think that's the important thing with podcasts or anything social media, is it's going to take its own life and go in its own direction.
It's interesting because yesterday though I had like that post or whatever and I tagged Rode in it, and now I'm like actually on the front page of Rode's thing, like right under, it's hilarious, next to like the Chinese New Year thing or dragon. So I was dying because I was like, I didn't think that when I first posted the post, it had like no traction at all. I think it had like 100. If you are speaking about something that's actually like an authority and like that's super like niche, like you're connecting like a wireless receiver to like some board, like you got to be kind of a nerd, right, to be watching that kind of stuff. So I didn't figure that it would be popular by any means, because I knew that it was kind of like a little bit technical or whatever. That part of it was interesting, but it's just wild though, because Rode has like 24,000 people that are following them. So like, I don't know, again, like going back to my point earlier, I don't know how you quantify that. Is that worth 50 cents? So that like worth a dollar? I think it's worth a lot more, because to me, it's when they see like me with a big brand like Rode, that only adds to my own credibility and my own social proof essentially, which makes any sort of sale. And if we all agree, we're all, even regardless if we say it or not, we're all in sales to some sort of degree. We have to sell our ideas. Right. We have to sell whatever. So it just makes you like more, it just increases, social proof is gold essentially for this age. So interesting. Any closing thoughts for you, Nate? I know it's top of the hour here, so I'll let you get rolling, but just close this out here and then also tell us where to find you, the show, your LinkedIn, anything else that you would like to leave with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So in closing thoughts, especially on this topic, you never really know where the journey is going to lead you. You know, I started this journey wanting to be louder in the industry, wanted driving forward to create messaging that I can play out into the industry and put my opinions out there. I wanted to speak more. I wanted to get better at public speaking. In doing so, you know, kind of watch for messaging, but there's several speaking events for large industry conferences coming up that I'm going to be speaking at. And one of them is a general session. So what is the value of this? It does play out. It's maybe not dollars and cents transactional, and there's not a particular value prop that is completely definable, but it is something that you can spell out in the end, and it just takes time. So it's like a marketing piece. It just takes time.
Thanks for sticking around to the end of that episode with Nate Johnson over at GLCS. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope everyone stays safe, has a great weekend. If you enjoy the show, please make sure to share an episode with a friend. Always review us on Spotify and Apple. We appreciate that. Otherwise, have a great weekend. See you soon.